Hello. Ah. Yee. Guys, this is so cool. Okay, so this is actually happening now. I'm making a podcast. What's up? Okay. Wow. I literally don't know how to do this or where to start because I've never done this before. So I'm just going to kind of jump right in. I'm Kenzie. So a little bit about me and why my voice and opinion on self-love even matters is, I guess, a good place to start here, right? So, I'm 25. I have two kids. They're really cool kids. I have a super smoking hot husband who is the love of my life. I am also a boudoir photographer. And if you don't know what boudoir is, it's super awesome naked pictures, essentially. And boudoir is amazing. So for a living, I really do kind of teach people a lot about self-love, and I show them themselves in a way that they usually wouldn't see themselves, which is a really, really rewarding career, let me tell you. God, if you've never done a boudoir session, regardless of if it's with me or somebody else, I will say, you know, they're amazing. There is a lot of power in seeing your naked body because it's something that we tend to really dislike about ourselves. So yeah, that's what I do for a living, is I get people naked and I love it. The other thing that I do as a photographer is I do document love at weddings, and I couldn't ask for anything cooler than that. Shooting weddings and shooting love is just amazing. I am very thankful for my job, guys. So I guess a little bit more about me. So I have really struggled with my self-image most of my life, like most people have. I know a lot of the people listening to this are women. And if you're not a woman, that's super fine. Hi, welcome, dudes, or especially gender minorities, gender queer, people, whatever you identify as, you are welcome here. A lot of what I'm going to say is going to be geared more towards women and femmes. And that's not to say that you can't learn from it if you're not one of those people. I just only know my own life experience, which is as a female person. So that's a thing. So anyways, let's kind of jump in here. This podcast is supposed to just be kind of my own take and my own story on how I've learned to have self-love and how I've learned to more so than love myself, not hate myself. So I'm going to talk to you guys a lot about my own experiences, and we're just going to jump right in. So, all right, so we're going to start with, I am really quickly going to pull up the definition of self-love on Google. If you can hear me typing, it's because I should have had this done earlier, but here we are. So self-love, by definition, is regard for one's own well-being and happiness, and this is considered as a desirable rather than a narcissistic trait. So what this means is that you are treating yourself as you would anybody else that you care about, essentially. Self-love doesn't mean that you think you're the best thing that's ever happened. You know, I don't talk about myself the way I talk about my husband or my children, but I don't talk about myself like I would somebody I don't like at all. And there's a lot to self-love here. I'm trying so hard to collect all these thoughts, guys. This is so nerve-wracking knowing there's billions of people listening to my podcast. So I'm just going to kind of start with a little bit about the actions that we need to take to really learn to even just not hate ourselves. So the first thing that I think people need to focus on is that you do not need to, just to look out for your own well-being and your own happiness, you don't need to think that you're the hottest thing alive. I know a lot of people think self-love means you look in the mirror and you're like, damn, bitch, but that just ain't it for me. You know, I don't think that that's how we treat the people that we love either. And I think that we really kind of think self-love is a surface thing, when in reality, self-love is, it's so much more and also so much less than we think it is. So what I mean by that is that, bear with me, guys. I'm so awkward. So when I think of the ways that I take care of myself, there's things that I have to do to make sure that I am doing my best. One big thing is I have to sleep. I have two kids. I don't sleep a lot. I know a lot of us have depression and anxiety issues, and sleep is hard. So every night I turn off my phone for 30 minutes before I go to bed, and I allow myself a wind down time. And that's really nice for my mental health. And it keeps me from feeling crazy, which is awesome. Because if you guys are like me, sometimes those thoughts just get so bad and it gets so fucked up in this head of mine that having a wind down time is so crucial to my mental health doing better. So, one big thing also, like I was saying, is that, you know, self-love is not something that is actually about your body while also treating your body well. So that's one reason I have to sleep all night. Another big thing that I have to do is I have to dress in things that are comfortable and also don't make me feel like a trash can. So I have some shirts that I wore pre-babies and I will try them on, and if they don't fit, I will quickly donate them. So that's a big example of like what self-love is and isn't. You know, self-love isn't trying to fit in clothes. It is just getting rid of some stuff that hurt you in the long run. I hate that I'm so cringy on here, guys. Please bear with me as this goes. Podcasting is new to me and I'm like trying to keep my thoughts organized, and I have this list that I'm reading on. So I really appreciate you guys. So we're jumping in here. We're going to do this. So first off, what is it that you're ignoring right now in your life that you should be doing, but instead you're choosing not to? Because once you're like, oh shit, it's that pile of laundry, that's your self-love that you're ignoring. That is, if it's, you know, if you are ignoring homework, if you are ignoring work, if you are avoiding a relationship issue, whatever it is that you're ignoring, that is you not taking care of yourself. Straight up, straight out the gate, that is the most important thing we can do for ourselves, is be well-organized people who stay on top of things and don't let that shit pile up. That is the number one thing that stops us from living a happy life, a good life, a calm life. Especially if you guys are like me, and I'm willing to bet money 80-90% of you guys are out here with your fucking anxiety on. It's okay to be anxious. You just need to remember that you have to treat yourself well. You cannot thrive in an environment that is chaos. I know there's exceptions, and some of you guys are like, well, it helps me and I get that and that's cool, but does it really? You know, when I was in my most toxic relationship, I loved the back and forth. We would always have like this mad drama and then this super smoking hot sex, and then we would be so good to each other, and then we would fight so hard. And I remember saying one time that like, I feel like I thrive under chaos with him, when the reality is I hate myself so much that I'm willing to deal with a form of abuse just to feel like I have love. And that is so fucked up. So I'm calling you guys out right now, because I mean, you're listening to a podcast about self-love. I'm not going to tell you to go take a bath with flowers and yada, yada, yada. I'm going to tell you right now to go water your plants that are dying, or go get all of the dishes out of your sink. And that's where I'm at right now. Very much ignoring that. Go do something for future you, because present you wants to sit down and listen to this podcast and ignore responsibilities. And I'm not going to be teaching you about self-love while masking it under this idea that we're allowed to love ourselves and neglect ourselves at the same time. So that's one big thing. Sorry to call y'all out straight out the gate. I just think it's important that we call ourselves on our shit if we ever really want to get better. And so I'm interested in tarot. Sorry if this is weird, but I am very interested in tarot reading. And one thing that I've learned from reading my own tarot cards is that I'm so easy. I'm so quick to pick up on the bad things about myself. It's so easy for me to be like, oh, well, this is something that I don't like about myself. It's very hard for me to actually do anything about it. So I don't want you guys to just think that, like, I'm going to tell you what your bullshit is because it's easy for us to call us on it. I want you to know that I'm telling you the things that I think we need to work on, all of us collectively, as people, as individuals, especially as women. And again, like I will say this a million times, I do speak from a, you know, cisgendered female perspective because that's all I really know. That's who I've been. And yeah, so I'm sorry if you guys are like, well, I don't really want to listen to a podcast that doesn't lift me up. I promise you that I'm not just here to tear you down. But one of the first things that we can work on is finding and identifying those things that we don't love about ourselves, that is not our body, but us as people, that we can grow to be better people from. So again, please do not think that I'm trying to say these things, because self-love should not begin with negative thoughts necessarily, but sometimes we have to dive into our shadows so that we can really find ourselves in the light. And I really hope that that makes sense. So, yeah. My body and I have a relationship. That's for damn sure. When I first started a self-love journey, it was a really dark period of time in my life. I'm going to just go ahead and scream, trigger warning. If you have any eating disorder tendencies, I am going to get a little bit in detail, not a lot, I promise you. But just, you know, take care of your space. If hearing about an eating disorder isn't healthy for you, then by all means, just ignore and skip on through the next couple of minutes of this. So the reason that I have learned how to love myself is because I was so fucked up about myself, guys. So I'm raised from a family of active people who are also just not really like a healthy people at all. So I was raised by people that didn't know health at all. My family, my older brothers were very active. So if we ate McDonald's every day, they were fine, versus your girl has always been one of those people that, like, I have to eat healthy to maintain a healthy body, which I feel like is normal. I don't run 12 miles a day, which it's normal for you, but I'm not doing that. So because of that, I was a chunky kid, and I was a chunky kid with parents that, as long as my mom never listens to this podcast, I will say, with parents that sucked. It was a hard upbringing. That's for damn sure. For example, my nickname growing up was Fat Boy, 'cause my mom just thought it was so funny. And she also, I remember the first time I ever was talked to about dieting. I was 5 years old, and I was told, when we go to McDonald's, you can't eat chicken nuggets. You have to eat salads because you need to lose weight. And I'm a mom with a 4-year-old now, and if I said that to her, she would just kind of like look at me like I was stupid, and she would tell me no. Also, as a mom with a 4-year-old now, if my child was eating so unhealthily that it was like affecting her weight, we would just eat better, man. You know, I just can't wrap my head around the upbringing that I had. And I'm sure a lot of us feel that way now as we're grownups looking back, like, what the fuck were our parents thinking? So anyways, so I started my life with a very hard self-image. It fucked me up pretty bad, guys. So when I was 16 is when I first finally realized that I had a problem with bulimia, and I didn't want to throw up anymore. And upon, you know, finding eating disorder tumblers, I realized that the best way to not throw up was to not eat. So, sorry, I developed a pretty bad eating disorder. It was weird too, because I never got below like an ideal body weight. So I started off as a bigger kid, And over the years, I got to a very normal size, a very standard, healthy, quote, quote, size. And I remember having a psychologist that I went to because I was so determined to recover when I was 16, early 17. I was just ready to be better because I knew this wasn't the life that I needed. And he told me, it's so strange that you have all of the signs of anorexia, but you don't have the body size, so therefore you aren't anorexic. And I was like, wow, that's a really cool thing to tell an anorexic person, that they're too fat to be anorexic. But whatever, old white man, we'll go with it. So I ended up going to therapy, and I had this really awesome psychiatrist who sat me down and told me, like, girl, this is bad and you need to treat this. And I said, well, chick, I'm trying. That's why I'm here at 17. I'm working part-time to pay for my therapy. You know, I'm doing the best I can. And she grabbed me by the hands and she said, you're doing the best you can, but you need more. And that's when I went inpatient at a hospital for 3 months. And it was the best thing I've ever done for myself, having someone to really take my hands and show me that there is better was what I needed more than anything in my life. And I completely think they saved my life. I really don't think I would be here today had I never gone to the River Center Clinic. And I owe that psychiatrist that helped me everything, because she saw someone who needed help and she helped me. So all of this backstory leads me to where I am now. And that is that you can love yourself so much, or you can hate yourself so much, but you may need help, and that's okay. So leading on from me talking about the struggles, I'm now going to kind of just tell you guys some of the things that I had to relearn about loving our bodies. And the first thing is that your body doesn't matter that much. I know that sounds weird, but, you know, why do we have legs? We have legs to walk and to run and to climb and to drive and to, I don't know, wrap around people during sex, I guess, are like the main things that I think I have legs for. And I have arms for carrying things and for reaching things and for hugging people and for punching people if I so choose to. I have arms for high fives, like those crispy ones, the really good ones. And I have hands also for those crispy high fives. And I have hands that know how to drive a car. And I have hands that can masturbate and can light candles and all of these awesome things. And that is what my body is meant for. Everything that I make up in my head about it being this thing for other people literally doesn't matter. My body is strictly here to exist so that I can do the things. And that was one thing that took me a long time to understand. You know, coming from a family where I was called fat boy, and obviously our bodies mattered to other people because that's why they comment on them, it took me so long to unlearn that my body is just a bag of bones and meat, and it's just to do cool shit or lame shit. And that's why I have a body, is to be able to do these things. So I often will say that I am thankful for my body, for the adventures that it takes me on, for the fact that it's always down to go. And a lot of you will hear me say a lot like on social media, that this body is always up for a road trip. This body is always down to make love. This body is always here to hug people, to smile at people, to hold a cup of coffee and, you know, to drink 6 Jaeger bombs and dance the fucking night away, not during COVID times. So these are things that I really appreciate about my body. And that's the way that you're able to change your thoughts on this probably stems so much deeper than I could teach you in a 30-minute podcast. But I will say that when you start appreciating those things and noting those things consciously, you can change everything about yourself. So I like to start with a daily little exercise, I guess you could say. So where I will mention something about my body that I appreciate. So today, I appreciate that my body is able to speak so that I can talk to you guys, so that I can start this new journey. Some things that I've done in the past are, I am thankful that my body can reach a climax, and then appreciate good sex, man, because your body just did that for you. And, you know, whoever helped you, whatever, fuck them. We're talking about you today. And then another thing that you can say is, I'm going to flag this so I can trim it because that was really bad. Let me start over. Sorry, guys. So I will come up with some more mantras that we can work on with loving our body as a flesh bag. So now I'm also going to move on to self-love in a couple different other ways. One big one is the way that you treat yourself with the people around you. And I'm not going to touch super hard on relationships today because I think that's a podcast for another day where I could talk to you guys for 12,000 fucking hours about relationships. But something that I think about self-love is when you leave your friendship hangs or phone calls or whatever human interaction you're doing, do you feel burnt out? Do you feel happy? Do you feel fulfilled, or do you just feel bleh? Do you feel dumb? Do you feel put down? Because if you're not hanging out with people that make you feel good, stop doing it, guys. Start treating ourselves and giving ourselves the like advice that we give our friends. Don't listen to yourself be miserable for so long around certain people. Do it now. Make today the day. So, moving on a little bit from all of this, I'm going to tell you guys right here, right now, that if the world is a computer simulation, I'm the only character that's real. You aren't real, and I am thankful that you're, like, in this with me because you're a really cool, like, sub-character that some weird computer hacker invented for me. I think that's really cool that I get to interact with you, but I'm the only one that matters. And I know that I sound fucking psychotic right now. Like, what the hell is this bitch talking about? But what I'm getting at is we don't know why we're here. I can't tell you that there's some divine plan for you or for me. I can't tell you that we're not living in a computer simulation. And I can't tell you that I'm real in your life whatsoever. So if our life is just a thing, this weird plane of existence that we happen to be the ones born into, you are literally the only one that matters. You are the only one that you can prove feels, and you really should treat yourself like that. I'm not saying to be rude to people, because like I said, I really appreciate that you guys are supporting characters in this strange story that I'm in, but I am saying that you're the main character of your story, and the second you start living it like that, your life will change so much. So, yeah, guys, get out of your damn heads. Start treating you better because you are awesome. You know, like when we ask ourselves, how do I feel about myself? We're automatically like, well, I feel like a fat sack of shit. And like, stop it now. Talk better about you because you're the only person here that matters. You're the only person in your head that matters. You're the only person listening to this that matters. Obviously, I say to the billion of you that I like to pretend are listening. Guys, we like to treat ourselves like shit, and we don't even know why we're put on this earth. I know that this is getting rambly, so I'm going to circle back to, there's this Shane Dawson video. Fuck Shane Dawson, by the way, but whatever. There's this Shane Dawson conspiracy theory video where he interviews his brother about flat earth. And I'm not really a flat earther. It's just not really my jam. I understand how the world is probably round. But he goes on to say just some things that circle back to the fact that if the earth is flat, there's a lot of reasons that there's intention behind the things that happened. And that would mean that I was made with intention, and that's kind of cool. So I agree with that, you know, and I'm not saying that the earth isn't round. God, maybe, I don't know what to believe. Honestly, it's fine. Whatever you want to think about me, I'm a little crazy. But I do think that we live this life as if there wasn't a reason behind us being here, because we're taught that, you know, like whether we go religiously or scientifically, whether it was a big bang, whether God made all mankind and we're just like a blip on the radar, even when it comes to saying like my vote doesn't matter, we are so taught and just raised to think that our lives don't matter compared to anything else, when I truly believe that I was born with intention to be here. There's a reason, regardless of what it is, whether it's a reason inside of me, whether it's some weird divinely driven thing, I don't know. I'll ask my tarot cards tonight what they think about it. But I want to say that I truly think that you matter. I really do. And I think that you matter so much that you even have your own subplot in this world, that I'm the only person that actually matters. And that's how important you are to the universe, that you're here in this story. So what I want to challenge you guys to do is to be the story. Take over, be your own main character, and see what it feels like when the main character takes the leap, you know, does the thing. When the main character decides to leave that toxic thing, when the main character decides to get that big makeover where she cuts her hair and she dyes it pink and she goes on to live her best life and never looks back. I think that once you guys all individually start realizing that you truly matter, you will never feel the same again. So yeah, what's up with it? I think this is kind of where I'm going to end this episode, because I don't know how else to do it. And I feel like I've rambled a little bit and I feel like I've made a couple points. So, tune in later for some other cool episodes and shit. I will try to be more organized. I'm sorry I'm a shit show, and thanks for loving me anyways. Bye.